Next time I speak, I'll be giving a Christmas message. But today I'm still in the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 21 through 25. Now, if you're here the last time that we were in Mark's Gospel, we talked about the parable of the sower, and we talked about the seed being the Word of God. And so, keeping in context, because context is everything. So we don't want to take our passage here today out of context, so we'll keep it in the context in which it's written. So I want you to understand that it's talking about the Word today. But let me just give you how many of you groaned on Friday watching the Razorbacks? I almost changed my illustration this morning to the Razorbacks, but I left it with the Aggies because I'm not a big Aggie fan. Two Aggie fans heard about a $50 cruise, all-inclusive. So these two Aggie fans said, let's go down. One said, no, I don't want to go down. I don't need to go on a cruise. The other Aggie fan said, yeah, I'm going down. I'm going on this cruise. And he went down to check it out. He got in there and he said, is this really an all-inclusive cruise, $50, for Aggie fans only? And the guy said, yes. Gave him his $50, took out a stick, hit him over the head, knocking him out. When he came to, he was floating in a pond on an inner tube. He looked over, and there happened to be another Aggie fan floating with him, and he said to that Aggie fan, he said, do they serve dinner on this cruise? And that Aggie fan said, they didn't last year. Some aren't the brightest bulb in the box. But I want you to understand, Jesus gives us a truth here that regardless of our IQ, we can understand. And he gives us his holy word. So in honor of the reading of the word of God, I would ask you to stand with me today as we honor our Savior and his word. In Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 21, it says these words. Also he said, which that ties it in with the parable of the sower, as it was as explained, also he said to them, is a lamp bought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Here it is. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured back to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. It's talking about the word. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that you would give us divine insight into your word today as we look at the light and the truth. And I pray, Father, that you would just give us divine guidance to know what you're talking about and to use it for our own lives, that we might honor your Son, our Savior, and we might make a difference in the world in which we live. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, in the Bible, light and truth, because I want to talk about light and truth, are two sides of the same coin. I mean, you turn one over, it says light. You turn the coin back over, it says truth. And God's word is light and God's word is truth. Therefore, our prayer should be the prayer that I found in the word of God in Psalm chapter 43 and verse 3. It said, oh, send out your light and your truth. That's where the title of the message came from. Let them lead me. What leads us? His light and his truth. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. So God's light and his truth brings us into a relationship with him. So that perfect verse for the text that we have today lets us know that the light and the truth of what God gives us will bring us into a relationship with him. So with that said, with our text red. Let me share with you a couple of things. How many of you have ever been sworn into a court of law? Just raise your hand. I mean, you've had to say, I promise to do what? Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Now, I want you to know something. Every time I hear that, I kind of chuckle. You know why I chuckle? Because nobody has the whole truth except God. I mean, you only have what you can perceive of the truth. You don't see it all. But when we come to the Word of God, God starts giving us truth and more truth and much truth until He gives us all His truth. But the problem is, you and I can't ever contain it all, so He continues to give us more truth, and more truth if we are pursuing a relationship with Him. Now, I've been a serious follower. I've been a child of God for 46 years, but I have been a sincere follower of Christ for over 3 decades. And when I say a sincere follower, I mean one who studied the Word of God, tried to apply the principles to my life, and wanted to please Him with my life. But even in doing that, I want you to know something. You still don't arrive at the destination that God has for you. But I want you to hear something else before I actually begin and get in the meat of this message. Now hear this and hear it clearly. Truth is not relative. Truth, God's truth, is absolute. And God's absolute truth will always bring you to the foot of the cross where you're peering into the pierceless, holy eyes of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. So truth is not relative. But we never also get to the place where we know it all. So if you think you know it all, you have an inflated ego, and you're setting yourself up for a fall. So let's look at two things I want to share with you today. The first one is God's light, because God's light is so powerful. And God has revealed Himself to every person. Now I want you to catch that, every person. God has revealed Himself to every person. You say, some people, I don't believe that, John. I don't believe that God has. Well, in John's gospel, in chapter 12, verse 46, I will let the word of God refute you. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. He has come as light into the world. And all we have to do is look for the light that God has given us. Every person on planet Earth has some truth and some light about God. You may be thinking, I don't believe that, Brother John. There are people in the darkest portions of Africa, third world nations. They have never seen a Bible. They have never heard a sermon. They have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel preached. Well, I want you to understand something. They have no excuse. You say they have no excuse? They have no excuse. Why do they not have any excuse? Because the Word of God says they are without excuse. In Romans chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, watch what Paul said. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Did you catch that? Manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. How? For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that is creation, even His eternal power and Godhead. What does it say? So, read it with me. So that, read it with me, they are without excuse. Those are not my words. Those are God's words. God says no one has an excuse. So anyone who comes to the judgment day and stands before Almighty God and said, Lord, I never had a Bible. Lord, I never heard. Lord, no one ever shared Jesus with me. They have no excuse. You say, well, that sounds relatively harsh. Here's the difficulty, though. You and I, because we have so much truth, shame on us for not looking for more truth still. You see, we're the ones that here in North Central Arkansas, we are inundated with truth. We have truth on the television, preaching. We have it in churches. Look around Salem. There are 7 or 8 churches in the city limits of Salem for the population here, and many out in the country beyond here. So we have no excuse. It's on the radio. It's everywhere. It's in printed literature. It is everywhere. You and I have no excuse, but the pagan in a foreign land who has never been exposed to a Bible or a preacher or a sermon or a radio program or any other form of internet where they've been able to see and hear. Listen, I'm telling you, the Bible says they are without excuse. So there are two universal witnesses that will testify at the judgment day about every single person. So who will be testifying that day against you, against me, and against everyone that's ever been born? The first is God's outer witness of creation. You heard in our text, the invisible attributes, the things that have been made, creation takes every single one of us and it brings us to focus upon the Lord. And when you think about that, when you see earth and when you think about the earth and when you think about what God has created, I want you to know that all we have to do is look around and see the beauty of the creation of Almighty God and say, this had to have a supreme maker. There had to be something that created everything that we make, that we have, and that we're able to enjoy. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20, if you will. It said, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Being understood of the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Everything God has made, it's been clearly seen, and you can look up into the starry sky, you can look into the mountains, you can look into the rivers, and you can look into all the streams and all that God's created and say, there had to be someone who created this. Something had to happen to cause this to be. Now, regardless of tribe, regardless of culture, or regardless of race, nobody can stand up and look in the starry sky and say, I don't believe this actually happened by a creator. I think this was a cosmic accident. Anyone that will look in the right mind will understand this all could not have happened simply by accident. But the problem with us Americans is this. We are so humanistic and we've embraced wholeheartedly humanism and evolution to the point we don't even think about it. We just say, well, it happened accidentally and that's all. It's all by random chance and that's just the way it is. Well, think with me for just a moment. My question is, really? Really? How many of you have been out to South Dakota and gazed at those 600-foot faces on Mount Rushmore? How many of you have seen that? I mean, it must have been a powerful earthquake that caused that. Maybe it was a volcanic eruption that caused that. No, you look at that and you say, my goodness, someone had to think that up, and then someone had to create those faces. And we look up and we see Washington and we see Jefferson and we see Roosevelt and we see Lincoln. We're just astounded. We say, my goodness, the time that it took for someone to actually create that. None of us in our right mind would say, nobody sculpted that. We'd say, somebody with intelligence designed that. Oh, let's bring it closer to home. Look at your watch. You say, I don't have a watch, John. Watches are antiquated. I have a watch. If you don't have a watch, look at your device, your mobile device. Many of you have mobile devices. How in the world do you think that just came to happen and be? I mean, this watch knows more than I do. And I can tell you that because it's an Apple Watch and it does all kinds of things. I can ask it questions and it gives me answers. I mean, it's so far more sophisticated than I am, I cannot even begin to imagine that. But, you know, someone had to dream this up and someone had to create this. Same thing with your mobile device. It just didn't happen by an explosion and there it was one day and then it reproduced itself over and over and over again until you got one. That's not the way things happen. We know that. But look what the Bible is saying. There's a creator behind all of this. Someone thought it up. Someone created it. Someone crafted it and made it and allows us to see the beauty. And all creation cries out, there is a God. Every sunset when you look, it has God's signature on it. Don't you love a beautiful sunset? The rays, the reds and the blues and all the hues that are given off by that. Every mountain reaches up toward the sky saying, God loves you. And every river that flows shows the flowing love of God going across our entire earth. And every flower in bloom says, here's the beauty of God's love expressed to you. God is saying, listen, I'm here in creation. And he says it to every single person who's ever been born on our planet. But not only is there this outer witness, there's also this inner witness. This inner witness, it's our conscience. Our conscience. Now, this is the second witness that God will call to the stand. And we see this in Romans chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. And Paul said, when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or excusing them. Now I want you to leave that up there because we're going to translate this a little bit differently. Where it says law, we're going to put Bible. Watch what it says now. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, you say the law is what? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Who do not have the Bible, by nature do the things in the Bible. These, although not having the Bible, are a Bible to themselves, who show the work of the Bible written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts excusing or accusing them. Now, did you notice that? God says, listen, I've given them a Bible. You said, they don't have a Bible. Yes, God said, I have given every single person the Bible. I've given it in their heart. It's in their conscience. And, you know, God gives us a conscience. We know right from wrong. And when we know right from wrong, you think about this with me. Before the Ten Commandments were written, men, women knew what was wrong. They knew that it was wrong to take another man's wife. They knew it was wrong to kill another human being. They knew it was wrong to lie. They knew it was wrong to cheat. And they knew it was wrong to steal. They just knew that inherently. And it caused moral outrage when it happened, because God had placed in the conscience of man the laws of God. In other words, the Bible of our Lord. We knew right from wrong. Our conscience has this triangle. It's been described within us. And this triangle has sharp points. And every time we sin, it turns. And on the inside, we feel this poking. And we know that we're wrong. We know that we've sinned. We know that we've fallen short. But you say, some people, they just seem to continue to do whatever they want, and it doesn't seem to bother them at all. Well, I want you to know, there was a time it bothered them greatly. But over time, those sharp points wear off, and all you have is a round circle inside. You no longer feel the prick of your conscience because you have seared your conscience, as Paul says. We've come to the place where we've said, God, I don't want your word. God, I don't want that. I want to do it my way, and Lord, I'm going to do it my way, and that's that. And you know, too many people have done that. But you can't stand before God and say, Lord, you never told me. God gave creation and God gave conscience. But I want you to see the second truth in our text today. In verse 25, watch what it says again. For whoever has, this is kind of interesting language, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, listen to me. This is God's truth. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. If you don't use a truth that God gives you, you will lose that truth. Now, think with me for just a moment. Many, many, many years ago, I want you to know, I made a conscious decision. It is hot in here, I know that, but I am not preaching on hell. I'm just preaching about people will go there if they don't trust the inner conscience and the outer word of God through creation. But I want you to know something. I made that in 1985. I said out loud, this word will be my guide. I will trust it. I will not vary from it. I will not trust something that opposes this. I will trust the Word of God as a supreme authority. I made that commitment. I made that decision, and I said, Lord, you lead me. Doesn't mean I know everything, but I want you to know, when it's clear in the Word of God, I agree with the Word of God. Simple as that. Now, you've heard in John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. How many have heard that? Just say amen. Amen. Many have heard that, but I want you to hear something else. It will also make people mad. The truth will also make people mad because they don't want to hear the truth. So my first subpoint is this. Those who reject God's light experience spiritual darkness. That's what's being said here. To whom more is given, more will be received. And who doesn't receive it, it'll be taken away from them. Now, when we reject God's truth, we disregard God's light also. And as a result of disregarding the truth, disregarding the light, we lose the truth that we have. In verse 25, that's what it says. It will be taken away from you. Jesus wasn't talking about money. Jesus wasn't talking about food. He wasn't talking about riches. He was talking about His Word, the truth of the Word of God. And when that's taken away from us because we ignore it, we don't act upon it, God says you're going to lose it. But when you act upon it, you gain more and more. But when you ignore it, you lose it. And God says, listen, I want you to apply the Word of God. That's why James says in his little epistle that works, we need to be working, we need to be doing. Show me your faith with your works, He tells us. And it's our works. It's the outward expression of what God's doing on the inside. And so many people say, well, you know, I had faith, a 9-year-old boy, I get walked out, I'll pray a prayer, I'm in the kingdom of God. But if no works have ever been done in your life, there's something wrong with your faith. There's something wrong. Word of God is perfect, converting the soul. Word of God is truth, illuminating our path. The Word of God is written upon our hearts. If you ignore it, if you ignore the Word of God, it's like an ice cube on a hot day. It just melts away. It's gone. And you don't have it. The Word of God soon describes what happens when we ignore the truth and the light of God's Word. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, again, watch what this says. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Now, we should all be thankful. We just came through Thanksgiving. But became futile in their thoughts. And here's what happened. And their foolish hearts were darkened. But remember, although they knew about God, although they knew God, they didn't want more truth. They didn't want more light. So guess what happens to them? They just lose it all because they've chosen to go down that path. In other words, people who reject the light of God's Word and the truth of God, they go further and further and further and further into darkness. But I want you to understand something. There's always hope. There's always hope that they'll return from their darkness and start seeking the light of God's truth. And here's what happens when we do. The second subpoint, we're almost done. Those who follow God's light find Jesus. Those who follow God's light, they're going to find Jesus. I mean, the light of God's Word and the truth of God's Word will bring you to Jesus. That's what it does. You say, some people say, you know what? I think I have to be kind of cute with the Word of God and develop this sermon that people will love and it'll cause them to laugh. And no, you know what God's Word does? It brings us to Christ. It's not about entertaining. It's about saying, Lord, here you are. Your Word has brought me to you, and I fall on my knees, and I worship you more and more and more. You see, there's another possibility. We don't have to go further and further into darkness. We can come closer and closer into the light, which brings us to the Lord. Because we have the Bible, we have creation, and we have our conscience. And when we look at creation, and we see with our conscience, listen, God, I want to follow you. And we realize that there's more truth, and we pursue more truth. God gives us more truth. I was saved, but I wasn't growing in Christ. But in 1985, I decided to make this the main thing in my life, and I have grown since then. If you go home and put this up on a shelf and you don't read it all week, don't expect to grow. You're not. If you come here and expect for me to give it to you and that alone, you're not ever going to be anything but a baby in Christ. You have to take the Word of God and nourish your own soul with that. But I want you to see something. In verse 24, it said, when we take the light, God gives us more light with the measure you use. Listen, you want more, you'll get more. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, for it is The God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Guess where he does? He leads you where? Into the face of Jesus Christ. He's going to bring you face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Listen, the Creator who spoke light into existence is going to say, come closer, come closer, come closer out of the darkness and into the light. Let me give you two examples and I'm done today. Let me give you an example from Scripture. I'm not going to go there and read it all because it would take too long. You can read it later. Acts chapter 10, the story of Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion. He was a righteous man. He loved the Lord and he wanted to know God completely and fully. And he was praying. And God spoke to him. And he said, you need to go send a couple of men up to Joppa to meet Peter and ask Simon Peter to come back to you. And you know how good God is? While he was giving that vision to Cornelius, the next day he gave a vision to Simon Peter of this sheet coming down out of the sky with all kinds of animals, clean and unclean. And he told Peter, he said, rise up and eat. Peter said, no, I can't do that. I'm a kosher Jew. And he said, no, what I've made clean is clean. So Peter began to understand, listen, God's not just called the Jews, but he's also called the Gentiles. And at that time, Peter's waking up out of sleep, and there's some men outside of his house, and they're calling for Simon Peter, who was at the home of Simon the Tanner. And he comes out, and they say, are you Peter? You Simon, who's called Peter? He said, I am. He said, well, our boss, our leader, Cornelius, a centurion who loves the Lord, wants to hear from you, and he wants to grow. And so Peter goes down, and there he meets with Cornelius, and he shares the word of God with Cornelius. And Cornelius and so many more in his household are saved. That's a Bible story. That's true. But there's also a more modern story that I came across, that's true as well. Rob Moore, who is one of our Southern Baptist missionaries, in 1992 in Tanzania, Africa, they were driving out into the bush, he and the local pastor, African pastor, they were driving out into the bush. They were behind a car, and it was just kicking up so much dust, they could only see a few yards ahead of them. And coming around another corner was a car, and they had a head-on collision. And once they realized they were okay, They got out, and there were five African men in the other car. And they got their little first aid kit, and they went to treat their injuries, soon finding out that there was no life-threatening injuries. And then out of the bush, three African men walked. And they said, we have been praying to God to send us truth and light. And they said, we have denied our pagan faith. We no longer want the pagan faith. We believe there's one good spirit, one true God, and we want to serve him. We want to know him. And we prayed for a white man to come and tell us. Rob Moore and the African pastor who spoke Swahili began to share the word of God. And you know, in the back roads of Africa, it takes a little longer to get a tow truck to an accident than it does in America. It took 48 hours to get a tow truck. So over the next 2 days, Rob Moore and that African pastor shared Christ with those three, and they gave their life to Christ. And 15 more from the village came, and they gave their life to Christ. And they started a church. You know what the name of the church was? Accident Baptist Church. But I want you to know something. It wasn't an accident. It was divine providence that brought Rob Moore to that point. And you see, God can do however he wants to do to cause more people to have more light if they only ask. So I guess my question really is not about the pagans and third world countries who've never heard, according to us. They've all had light and they've all had faith. But I want you to hear something. I want to ask you a question. How can we say we have an excuse with all of the light that we receive in North Central Arkansas? You see, it's not about a pagan over there. It's about you. It's about me. Maybe we all need to cry out to Christ like that child's crying out for help. But listen to me. If you're banking on, I didn't have all the answers, God will say, I gave you conscience and I gave you creation. But everybody here, you've already heard the preaching of the word. You have no excuse. So what am I saying? Today, if you have put off coming to Christ, you have no excuse to put it off now. You have the light of conscience, creation, and the word of God, which shows us Christ. The three C's. Would you come to Christ today? Would you come and just join this local body and get busy for the kingdom of God today? Make this Christmas season.